I was listening to the questions in the morning and the answers to the questions, and the response and our response to the answers. And I was just praying this afternoon and just looking for a direction. And you know, like the brother who spoke in the morning said, just for you. Is that what she said? He said, it is for you. Uh-huh. So it is for you. So, you know, there are certain things, certain arrangements that God have made just for you and just for me. And we should not let such opportunities go. It appears to me that we were struggling with certain basic things, which I took for granted. I took it for granted, and it appears that we were struggling with some of those things. You know, so I hear, you know, I feel God wanted to lead us in a certain way, and at the end, you know, I will welcome questions so that we will not struggle. You know, because if we struggle with this, we are going to have a hard time with the devil. It's going to be very difficult, you know, to even go forward. You know, so I want to talk about life in the spirit. You know, life in the spirit. And how to overcome in the spirit. How to grow in the spirit. Some people are already sleeping. Okay, maybe I should come down so that I can preach with such people. Okay, you know, here, I'm seeing everybody, so if you sleep, I'll just come by you, and then me and you will preach. And the sleep will disappear automatically. Amen. The people are still sleeping. Okay, so I'm coming. Can we look at Romans chapter 5, chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, I'm coming down. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. It says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of Christ, or spirit of God, dwell in you. So what does it mean to be in the flesh, and what does it mean to be in the spirit? I'm not feeling fine. Okay. They say she's not feeling fine. They don't sleep now. Amen. Hold my hand again. Let's pray for you. Father, we ask that you will heal our sister. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. So there are two things there. Being in the spirit and being in the flesh. There are two things. Okay. So let's explain the first one first. What does it mean to be in the flesh? What is flesh? Everybody do like this. Raise your hand now. This is your hand. If you remove the skin, what will you see? Not bone, huh? You see raw flesh, muscles, and other things. For the medical people, there are other things you see. You will see artery, you will see nerve, you will see vein, you will see some things, you know, that help the muscles to work. All right? So that is what we call flesh, raw flesh. All right? So what does the Bible mean by flesh? The Bible means, flesh means your raw soul nature, your mind, your raw mind, your raw emotions, your desire, your will, just raw, without the influence of the Spirit of God. That is what the Bible means by flesh. Amen. Okay, you don't want to say amen. Okay, now, we have entered today. All right. So that is what the Bible means by flesh. All right? Now, when he says you are in the Spirit, he has told us that if the Spirit of God is in your soul, then you are no longer in the flesh. Because that Spirit of God in your soul is now influencing your action. Alright? So my mind, when it functions under the influence of the Spirit of God, that mind is now in the Spirit. Amen. Yeah, the amen is not strong enough. Amen. Okay? Alright, so in the morning, we were trying to explain. I said something that the devil is in heaven. So who had problem with it? Okay. So let me go over it again, so that you can understand what we will say after. Now, your body. This afternoon, you had lunch because your body needs energy. All right? Your body needs energy. I'm using the word energy, you know, to function naturally, for you to walk around, eat, do other things. Your body needs energy. So, what does your soul need to function? What does your soul need to function? Huh? Your soul also needs energy to function. But your soul even needs more energy. More, you know, power to function. Amen. And your body, because it's of a lower operation, it's of a lower dimension, okay, needs natural energy, that is food. But under the right condition, this your body doesn't need food. Okay, while we saw that, the spirit body. Okay, when Jesus resurrected, he didn't need that fish. So he says, oh, give me the fish, I ate it. He ate the fish. You know? So, and the Bible says, man shall not live by bread, natural bread alone. Okay? So in other words, this body can also be sustained or be energized by the word of God. Because he said, the words that I speak to you, they are what? They are spirit. So what you are hearing now is spirit. If it is from God, it will give your soul energy. And it may be so strong that it will even affect your body. So the Bible says he sent his word, and what happened? That word healed them. Because the word they are hearing, Jesus says, in the beginning was the word. The word was with God, and the word was what? God. You understand? So, the word they are hearing is of a very high dimension. And you can apply it at that level if you want to. Okay? Now, we are speaking of the body, the natural body. But how about the soul? And then how about the spirit? So, as you go from this body to the soul, to the spirit, you are going to a higher dimension. Now, many of us who are seated down here, we are completely ignorant, or we are not aware of what we're speaking about. For instance, when you take your phone and you begin to play around with your phone, you are dealing with high spiritual energy. Because somebody in the United States is sending you a picture. How do you think the picture came to you? How do you think the picture came to you? The picture came to you based on spiritual principles. In this room now, there are different kinds of wavelengths and dimensions, depending on your ability to receive them. They are all in this room. So, the traditional religion, traditional church, and Christianity have taught us that, you know, there is hell and heaven, you know. And we do not understand the reality of what we are speaking about. And because of it, many of us are not able to overcome. You know, somebody asked the question, how can I overcome my emotion? You cannot overcome your emotion until you understand what your emotion is. Until you understand how your emotion functions. You can only go as far. Because the Bible says, well, we wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood. Now, your emotion raw, as a raw emotion without any influence, has no problem. My mind, my raw mind on its own has no problem. But when another spirit begins to manipulate my mind, it becomes a different thing. Amen. And we have to understand that the soul is of a lower spiritual operation and realm and dimension. And in the place where God, in that realm in which the soul is operating, any spirit, mark my word, any spirit can influence it. For example, there's a man called Peter. Do you know him? You know Peter? Jesus told him, get behind me what? Get behind me what? Yeah, Peter, Satan. Can you imagine it? What was happening to Peter? There was a spirit, a wrong spirit, that began to manipulate and operate through him. And as it operates through Peter, that's how it can operate through you. That's how it can operate through me. In fact, there's even a scripture that says that Satan entered into Satan, into Judas. Is that in your Bible? How is that possible? Judas was an apostle, wasn't he? He was walking with Jesus, eating with Jesus, running with Jesus. He even had the account. He was what? He was doing miracles. He was a miracle worker. How can Satan enter into Judas? Because he was Judas. No. He entered because the soul of man is an open realm. It's open. Any bird can jump inside if you allow him. Then the scripture says, we saw that scripture say, he that has no rule over his own spirit is like what? A city. And the brother has told us what a city is. This soul is a city. It's a dwelling place. He says, in my father's house, there are many what? Many dwelling places. The Greek says dwelling places, dwelling realms. It's a house for spirits. And it is a house for spirit because God made you to be his dwelling place. To be the house of the great spirit called God. Amen. So Jesus came to them. He said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will rebuild it. And the Bible says in John chapter 2, 21, it says, but he spoke what? Of the temple, or the dwelling realm of himself. Amen. So the soul of man is a spiritual being. But this spiritual being can be a dwelling place for the Spirit of God or devils. We saw the situation of a man. Is that not the man of gathering, isn't it? The Bible said that in him was many devils. There was a legion. We know another woman called Mary Magdalene. Do you know her? The Bible said out of her we are cast what? Seven spirits. Where were those spirits? They were in her leg. By the way, I've told you the story when I was somewhere. We were praying and they were casting out devil. So I followed them too. I immediately appointed my hand. Bam, this devil hit my hand. Bakai. My hand is stiff. I had to run to a brother. I said, brother, please pray for me. My hand is stiff. They prayed. I'm telling you a story. I'm not real life. Amen. So it's possible you're in this room. You don't believe in devils. Say, what are all these devils? What are they talking about? Come and meet me. I'll tell you. You are devils. And the devils, they dwell in the realm of the soul, in the mind, in the emotion, in the desire. And when these devils go in there, they build a stronghold. That is, because they need life. They don't have access to life. The only life they can get is from God. And they are devils, so God, they have God that has cast them out. The only way they can get life is through you and through me. Amen. Amen. So, when we speak about spiritual reality, we are speaking about what you are meeting now. When the conference ends, you are going to meet it every day. How do you overcome in your emotions? How do you overcome in your desires? Because there are spirits that want to manipulate your mind in a certain way, so that as you function in that way, they will get life. And by the way, there are some other spirits that we are born with. Because those spirits, they run in the family. Maybe the forefathers, they have made certain covenants and dedications. It says, everybody in my family will serve you if you will do so and so to me. They go to certain spirits and they make covenants. So they sell everybody that is coming after them, have already been given over. I'll give you an example. The Bible says when Abraham paid tithe to Melchizedek, he paid under tithe. The Bible says that Levi, who was not yet born, paid tithe in Abraham. What grammar is that? How is that possible? It's possible. It's called spiritual. In fact, it is another dimension of laying on our hand, the transference of spirits. Spirits can be transferred. Blessings can be transferred. Curses can be transferred. Because God says anybody who worships idols, God will judge them unto the fourth and tenth generation. Some of you are fourth generation. Or it may even be tenth. So the things you are suffering and dealing with are not of your making. They are a result of things that were done by those who were before you. And you think that just by waving hand, you just go like that. So, we need to understand the reality of the things that are working in our emotions, in our desire, in our will. And then, in understanding them, we can know how to overcome, how to, you know, have victory, and how to, you know, how to live a victorious Christian life. So, this scripture is telling us that we are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if the Spirit of God dwell in us. So what that means is that the scripture says, not by power, not by might, but by my spirit. Another one says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So you don't overcome the devil by your flesh. You say, from today, I will not watch bad films. From today, I will not. That is a good thought. But the thing is that there is a spirit that wants you to watch. There's a spirit that wants you to be angry. In fact, it doesn't even take permission from you. Amen. Say amen. Amen. There's a spirit. Okay, some people are very holy. There's no spirit. For me, there is a spirit. I know there is a spirit. Amen. And I understand that I can overcome them. And the Bible gives me principles how to overcome them. And that is what I want to talk about this night. Amen. And you see, if we're in self-denial, say it's not there, it doesn't take it away. The Bible says, if we confess our sins, is what? He is faithful and just to forgive us and to do what? To cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. Amen. So how then can a believer overcome? How then can you have victory? Clean emotions, clean mind, clean thoughts, pure desires. Amen. And when I came the other day, I began to talk about it. But I have a feeling that it was not clear. I have the feeling that we didn't quite get into it. So I want to see what we can do to get into it. Now, can we look at Ephesians 4:18? The Bible says, it says, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of the heart. Now, he's speaking about the heart. Now, what is the heart? When you say heart, there is heart at the level of my body. My body has a heart. The center of my body, where is it? The control of my body is in the brain. Amen. In the realm of my soul, there is also a heart. Because there's a place where the emotions, the will, and desire, there's a place they come together. That's also the heart. Okay? But it's not just body and soul. There's also spirit. You know? So there's a place where my spirit with my soul, together with the Spirit of God, there's a place where it functions. And that is what the Bible calls the heart. You know? And can we see the scripture? It says, out of the heart proceed, you know, adultery, murder, the works of the flesh. We were looking at the other day. I think is it Matthew 15 or so? I can't. Or is it 19? 19:15. It says, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. I got it. Praise God. Matthew 15:19. It was the right way around. Okay. So from out of the heart proceed what? Evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemy. So if you want to overcome, if you are really serious, you want to overcome, you want to pay attention to your heart. Okay? So if you want to break through, if you want to have a victorious Christian life, then you want to pay attention, because he has already told you where the problem is. The problem is in the heart. Amen. Hallelujah. So we sing the song, we say, Lord, change my heart, oh God. Do so and so and so with my heart. You know? Now, another thing that we were speaking in the morning, let me come to it. In this room, my body is in Umebule, Gold Spring High School. That's where my body is. But my soul is in the spirit. My soul is in a place called Zion. My soul is dwelling in a city, in a spiritual reality called Zion. I didn't hear amen. Amen. If you are not If you don't have that blood, your soul can't enter Zion. It will not be in the realm called hell, outer darkness. And because it's in hell, it's looking for life. But because my soul is in Zion, the great shepherd of Zion is feeding my soul. I don't know if you understand that. Amen. There's too much quietness now. Is that too difficult to understand? I am dwelling here. If you do an anatomy, you cut through the individual, you don't see any soul. You don't see your mind. But it is there. Amen. So, that soul is dwelling in a realm of heaven. You are in heaven. Okay, Brother Bere was talking about it in the morning. When you come out of, when you are an unbeliever, you are in Egypt. That is a spiritual language for a people, an ungodly, you know, people. The commonwealth of people who are not saved. Your soul is not under that covenant body of the people of God. Amen. And because your soul is not in that place, the Bible says that Jesus is the shepherd of our soul. Is that correct? Is that in the Bible? The Bible says he's the great bishop of our souls. Yeah, there's so much quietness in this room. What's going on? Okay, but show it to us. I think it's Peter. I think it's 1 Peter chapter 3. Or is it the 4th? 1 Peter 4, the last verse. What's the problem? It's not there. Huh? Oh, is this before? What's happening there? Is that there? No. Put bishop. We're not reading our Bible, so. We're not reading our Bible, so. Have we found it? Praise God. For you were as sheep going astray, but are now what? Return unto the shepherd. And what? Bishop of your soul. Amen. So, Christ, he says, the Lord is my shepherd. It's not just English language. It's a reality. Amen. My soul is being overshadowed or being ministered to, being nourished by Jesus, who is the great shepherd of my soul. We sing the song, Shepherd of my soul, I give you full control. That's where it came from. Amen. So we are looking at spiritual reality. I am dwelling, I'm walking in Port Harcourt, but I am dwelling in heaven. The man who is not born again, his soul is not dwelling in heaven, in a realm of the spirit, just that this time he is under the control of darkness. So the Bible says that he has translated us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Hallelujah. When you are traveling into the kingdom of light, is your body all light? Is your soul? He's speaking about the soul. The change in the government or the rule over the soul. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, so we were talking about the operation of the soul. That the soul, it's a spiritual reality. It's a spiritual operation. And in the realm of the soul, you have the mind, you have the emotions, you have the desire, and they're all functioning. So as your body is functioning, so also your soul is functioning. It's difficult to understand, but you must accept it. That you function at three dimensions at the same time. And that is whether you are born again or not. That is a reality that's happening. Amen. So, as you operate every day, your soul is functioning. Your body is also functioning. Hallelujah. And we must begin to come into maturity. Because whether you are like it or not, we wrestle against these principalities, spirits, forces. They are always contending against us. Amen. And we are doing catch up. We are responding to the devil. You know, the devil is running and we are trying to always defend him because we do not understand the rules of the game. Amen. So he said, if we live in the spirit, let us also what? Walk in the spirit. Can we see that? It's in Galatians 5. Where is that now? Galatians 5:20 or something. 5:25 or something. All right. So if you are in the spirit, if the spirit of God is in your soul, that means you are in the spirit. Then the Bible says you should walk in the spirit. That means you should walk under the influence. So I should learn the habit. Have I got it? All right, 5:25. If we live in the spirit, let us also what? Walk in the spirit. And Hebrews 2 says, we have come to Mount Zion. Not we are going to come. Or you will come. Say, for we are come to Mount Zion. So we are people who are dwelling in heaven. We are dwelling in the realms of heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So we are speaking about the operation of our soul, you know, the workings of my soul. And the only thing that the difference now is that the blood of Jesus has come into our soul. Amen. So when somebody says, I am born again, it's not just English language. Say after me, from today, I give my life to Jesus, I'm not born again. No. It's more than that. What you are saying is that the blood of Yeshua is applied to the four realms of your soul. Amen. Hallelujah. So remember in Egypt, what did they say? When I see the blood, what will happen? Some of us do not have a confidence as Christians. Do you know why? Because we are not aware of our foundation. We don't know the covenant we have. If you know the covenant you have, the devil cannot... I can't just enter the motor and then I'm going to have an accident that down the road. It's not going to happen. It ain't going to happen, according to the Americans. It's not going to happen. Why? His blood is upon my soul. I didn't hear any amen. Now, what does it mean for the blood to be upon my soul? It's a covenant. That blood is a token. The Bible says that that when men make an agreement, they seal it with blood. All right? Some of you now are big boys. You have graduated. You are running your own business. You get into a contract. Come and supply so and so. Do you just wake up and go and supply? You write paper now. The man has to write a paper and give you a contract. If you supply so and so and so, I will pay you. You tell him, pay me 75% before delivery. Is it not so? Yes, sir. Yes, your contract. So as they pay you, you must deliver. If you don't deliver, you go to jail. My people call it equally, again, equally. That means they carry you and throw you inside the jail. Amen. Say amen now. Like you're on the way to jail because you have broken the covenant. In the spirit, what does it mean? When you say, Jesus, I accept you as my Lord, I receive your blood. What you're saying is that the blood of Jesus is applied on your mind. It's applied on your will, on the four dimensions of your soul. That's why that altar is four square. The blood is applied there. And from that moment, you become a covenant child of heaven. Amen. You become the responsibility of heaven. Anywhere you go, heaven is on notice. Because the covenant child of heaven is in that place. Amen. Hallelujah. So there are rights to that. There are rights to that covenant. But you see, the blood of Jesus is not a talisman. It's not the one that when you see this, the blood of Jesus, then you are saved. Something does in the night, the blood of Jesus. It's much more than that. That blood is light. Amen. There is light. There is power. Because the Bible says the life of the flesh is in the blood. That means the blood that you receive has the life of God in it. Amen. Hallelujah. So that blood speaks. Do you know that blood speaks? If you know that blood speaks, can I see your hand? Not many people have. Blood speaks. That blood is speaking in your soul. Amen. But how can blood speak? Well, it speaks. You know? So, some of us, we are too intellectual. We need to put aside the intellect and become spiritually alive. Blood speaks. And the blood upon your soul is speaking better things than the blood of Abel. Hallelujah. That blood is speaking on your behalf. The Bible said that he ever liveth to do what? Make intercession for us. He said, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, what happens? We have fellowship one with another. And what happens? The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. Amen. That's why we say, let us sleep over it. When something is bothering you, sleep over it, because by the morning, the blood will have washed many things away. You wake up, you feel clean. Is that not so? Yes. Amen. So, if truly you are a covenant child of Christ, then you must walk as such. You must not just to live in that understanding, but you must walk it out. Amen. You walk under the awareness, under the influence of that covenant. There are many other things with that covenant. The covenant protects. Amen. You know, the covenant, gives you certain benefits, blessings. A lot of people are running away with the blessings. But with it comes a responsibility. Because if you are, one of the Jews, and they say at midnight you must be inside your house under the blood. If you went out at midnight when the angel of death is walking, what would they do? You have broken the covenant. You become prey. Amen. So that happens to some of us because we are not walking under the divine agreement of the covenant. Amen. So we run into trouble. Hallelujah. Amen. So we have an obligation to walk under the blood. There's a song that says, I'm going to stay right under the blood. Where the devil can do me no harm. Amen. As long as we are under the blood, the devil can do nothing. Cannot touch you. Hallelujah. Amen. But it's not just that. That blood washes. But that blood also has life. That blood ministers life to your soul. Amen. There's an energy in it. Hallelujah. And you can feed. Your soul feeds from that energy, that life. I don't know if you understand what I'm talking about. The blood, in normal life, the cells in your body are fed by the blood in your body. Is that correct? Is that not correct? Amen. So also in the spirit, that blood of Jesus is meant to feed your soul. It's meant to nourish your soul. Hallelujah. Now, it so happens that some of us, including myself, I depend on television to nourish my emotion. Is that correct? When I want to have fun, I switch the TV on to have fun. Now, what is happening is that I have climbed down from heaven and I have come down to the natural realms to receive energy. It is energy. I know you don't want me to say energy, but I will say it. It is energy for the soul. Amen. And this habit of bringing excitement to my emotion, as Rebecca was telling us last night, because it is an appetite, and because my soul, which is falling, remember, my soul is a falling nature. It's not the way, it's not where it should be. It's on a much lower dimension. And every day it's becoming lower and lower and lower. Amen. After some time, the soul becomes addicted. It's always looking forward to that appetite, and it becomes a stronghold. And the soul becomes bound in it. Amen. And the Bible calls it the worship of the image of the beast. It's an altar. There's an altar. And I want to say that there are altars. The soul is a house of altars. But by the way, the Bible says God's plan is that there will only be one altar. Amen. It says in that city, there is only one temple therein. So the Lamb and the Lord God are the temple therein. Hallelujah. So, there are temples, there are altars in my mind, in my emotion, in my desires. Some of them I built. Some of them I inherited. When I was born, I was born with these altars. A place where I go to receive life. An altar is the place where we receive life and where we also give life. Amen. It's a place where the heavens and the earth meet. Man and the realm of spirits, that's where we meet. Don't mind anybody that tells you that you go to church, there is only that thing you see out there that is a temple. No way. The mind is a temple, is an idol worshiper. It worships images. How is it that you wake up in the morning, you see an image? It doesn't leave you. Reverend was telling us the one he was fighting. It was a song going on inside his mind. What do you think he's telling you? So, when your mind has captured something, it is going to execute it. Unless there is a higher law that comes to erase it. And that higher law is the word of God. Amen. 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 Brother Brother Felix, was telling us about the law of the spirit of life and the law of the spirit of sin and death. Do you know that inside the mind there is a law? Bible calls it the law of sin and death. There are handwritings in my mind. There are engravings in my mind. Oh my God. Amen. Yeah, why are you so quiet now, bro? What's going on? Everywhere is quiet. Okay, they're paying attention. Amen. I hope not sleeping. Oh yes. Don't let anybody kid you. The Bible says that Jesus Christ has erased the handwriting against us. Is that in your Bible? There are handwritings. Those handwritings were written in the law. That's the law. But inside the soul, inside, there are handwritings which you have the responsibility of erasing. And the man says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. All right, let us look at Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8. Yeah, it's only 8 o'clock and so many people are sleeping. It's only 7:30. Hallelujah. So can we all stand? Stand up and tell me if you love my Jesus.
Stand up and tell if you love my Lord. I want to know. I want to know.
I just said you should go out now.
My Lord. Stand up and tell me if you love my Jesus. Stand up and tell me if you love my Lord. I want to know, I want to know if you love my God. Sit down and tell me if you love my...
You're supposed to sit down.
Sit down and tell me if you love my God. I want to know, I want to know if you love my love. Sit down and tell me if you love my Jesus. Sit down and tell me if you love my love. I want to know, I want to know if you love my love.
Amen. Amen. Okay, can we look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 8? Amen. I hope it's not too heavy for us. But this is a boot camp for spiritual warfare. Amen. You know, young men, we are fighting with, you know, warring against so many forces in the soul. Amen. And we need help. Okay. So these are the three things. Someone was asking, how can I overcome in my emotion? That is it. These are the three things you need to overcome in your emotion. Hallelujah. To overcome in my mind. How can I get my mind? How can I bring it and subject it? So he said, there are three things that bear witness. Witness to what? Witness to Christ. I hope you know there's a difference between Christ and Jesus. If you know, can I see your hand? Jesus and Christ, are they the same? If you know, can I see your hand? Do you know that there's a difference between Jesus and Christ? Amen. So what's the difference? Who will tell us? Who knows? Who will tell us? The difference between Jesus and Christ. Yes? Tell us, sister. What's the difference between Jesus and Christ? Ah, is it because I'm not Berebere? You don't want to carry the thing. Carry the thing, I go now. Amen. God give hand. Let her tell us. We're not sleeping today. We might even reach 11 o'clock. Until we finish what I'm doing. You've got the way you are sleeping. The way you are doing. So if you wake up, we will finish on time. Amen. So you better wake up until I can finish. I go and sit down. If not, I'm not going anywhere today until I finish. After a brave day, stay there. They're up to almost stay so long. You allowed him. Yes, sister, tell us, what's the difference between Jesus and Christ?
Jesus is the Son of God that was crucified and died for mankind. Then Christ is a many membered body, Jesus is the head, and the church is the body.
Okay, say it again.
Jesus is the Son of God that was crucified and died for mankind. Then Christ is a many membered body, Jesus is the head, and the church is the body.
Okay, so Christ is a many membered body. And we saw the other day that when God made the promise to Abraham, he made to the seed of Abraham. And in Galatians, it tells us that seed is what? Christ. Amen. So how do you become a member of Christ? By faith. By belief. So Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Amen. So Jesus is the beginning of Christ, is the head, is the prototype, is the first, and then we are coming after him. So he is our image, he is our example. Amen. And Jesus walked on the earth and he overcame. So Pontius Pilate says, I find no fault in this man. He didn't say, I find no fault in this God. He said, I find no fault in this man. So, Romans 11 says, if the Spirit, you see the Spirit, one of them there, if the Spirit that was in Christ Jesus, that raised him from the dead, dwell in us, we shall also overcome. So, how can I overcome? I overcome by walking, by submitting to the Spirit of Christ in me. I don't overcome by my energy. Because many of us in our Christian life, we are fighting the devil with our energy, with our mind, with our emotions. It cannot work. So we must come to a place of rest in God. Amen. The Bible says there remains yet a rest for the people of God. Hallelujah. Say amen if you believe it. So the question is, have you come into your rest? Or are you still fighting with your energy? Amen. Now, how can you fight spiritually? One of the ways of fighting is by fasting. Fast. When you fast, what are you doing? You are bringing your body under subjection. You are giving your soul a head start. Amen. So you put the body down so that your soul can become dominant. You know, you have more time to pray. You know, like your brother was saying, you know, initially it is tough, but with time you see that you're able to, you come to that place where you see spiritual strength coming through you. I'm saying that in this conference, going from this conference, we must all make a quality decision that we are going to incorporate fasting into our lifestyle. Amen. Amen. Not only when fellowship says, let us fast. You on your own, because you want to see God. I remember the story of a young person, I won't mention his name. Every Tuesday is the time to see God. He doesn't go out on that day. He stays at home, and fasts. And now, when you want to have access to the heavens. The heavens is within you. Are we together? All right, let's see the scripture. We'll come back to this. Luke 17:21. Because when we talk of heaven, so first start looking in the sky. Please stop that. Look inside. There's a heaven. The heaven is within you. And the heaven in you is a bad heaven. Because the devil is inside it. But the heavens are heaven. There is no bad one there. Because the devil was driven away from there. Don't you understand? Amen. The Bible says the heavens of heavens belong to God. Don't you understand? So in the heavens of God, you see, there are realms, there are dimensions in the heaven that God dwells. There's no sin, no unrighteousness, no overcoming there. Amen. But in this heaven down here, there is war. See, the Bible says there is war where? In heaven.
How would there be war if the devil doesn't have access to your heaven? You better wake up. In your heaven, everybody is there. Spirits of just men, demons are there. What else again? Everybody is in that heaven. And the Bible says that the devil is going to be cast out of our heaven. The job of the church, your job as a believer, is to cast the devil out of your own heaven. I didn't get any amen. Amen. That is the vision. You know, I'm born again, then God will make me pass my exams, give me a good wife, give me good children. Praise God for that. But when you come to business, you know that within you, you must cast out those devils within you. And it is to the extent that you overcome in casting them out, that is the extent of your glory in Christ. Amen. Amen. So it says that one star differs from another star in glory. Why? Because one man was successful in casting out the devils within him, while the other one was eating granite and waving hands. Amen. Where are we now? So which one are we showing now? Luke 17:21. Please let us read it together. Let's read it together. Three, go. Neither shall they say, lo here, or lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is where? Within you. Amen. There's a kingdom within you. And I want us to, I don't know if I can break open some heads and put it, I will do so. We are looking outside. Stop looking outside. The activity is where? Within. Amen. The kingdom is within. And the Bible said there is war where? In heaven. Who is fighting? Show us Revelation 12. 12, is it 8 or 9 or 10? Okay, 12:11. There's war in heaven. Which heaven is that? How did the devil get to that heaven? Let us wake up. And there was war where? Where is that heaven? You enter the plane, start flying, Eric Air, you start looking for the devil in the heaven. Amen. Which heaven is this one? Somebody say your mind. The heaven of your soul. The heaven of your emotions. Amen. You wake up, you feel evil thought against your brother. What do you think is going? It's war. You feel some emotions in you. Amen. It's war. Hallelujah. And we can play off street to say the devil is far away. The devil is not far away. He's here, right here in Umebule. He's inside my soul. I must. It's my commission as a believer to cast him out. Let's read it down. It says, and the devil fought. Michael and his angels fought. And against the dragon. And the dragon fought against and his angel. We know the dragon. Unless you want me to go and show it, I'll show you. The Bible says the dragon is the devil. Say that old Satan, the devil, called the old dragon, whatever it is. Amen. He's the one. Amen. All right, let's read verse 8. What did he do? And prevailed not. We have been given the result already. Amen. So if I say, I cannot overcome, no problem. That's you. Say, stand aside. Somebody says, I can overcome. Amen. Amen. I can do all things through Christ. When I say I can overcome, not by myself. I'm no match for the devil. He has been fighting and defeating people like me for the past 6,000 years. But I have an edge because he says, greater is he that is in you than he that is what? In the world. Amen. There is a spirit of Christ in me, an overcoming spirit of Christ. Amen. And I am learning how to walk and overcome by that spirit. I didn't hear any amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And the great dragon was what? Cast out from where? From that heaven within you. Amen. Hallelujah. This is the basic gospel of Christ. This is ABC. We're not even going anywhere. This is day one, lesson one. Hallelujah. That when you say you're a believer, you are recruited into a warfare. Hallelujah. And you fight the devils in your own soul, not for another soul. Hallelujah. And that great devil, dragon, was cast out. That word, old serpent, called the devil and Satan. He doesn't want anybody to make any mistake. Which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth. And angels with him. Amen. So after this conference, there will be more devils outside. Amen. That's why you feel lighter. Why do you think you feel lighter when you go to church and you come out? You are lighter because some devils have been cast out. Well, make sure that we don't go back and open the door and they come back again. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus told them, make sure that you do not open so that a greater devil doesn't come and your condition will be worse than before. Hallelujah. So I'm trying to show the reality of what is going on in our soul, the warfare. The warfare. Now, when Brother Uriah says the resurrection is change, what is the change? The change is that these devils that were ruling over my soul, they no longer have dominion over my soul. So every day I'm resurrecting. Amen. Every day I'm resurrecting. Every day I'm having more control. There are less devils. Hallelujah. My true emotion is coming forth. Hallelujah. My true desires are coming forth. I can desire, I'm free to desire the things of God. I'm free to think the thoughts of God. Amen. I'm free to feel, you know, have true, you know, human feeling. Hallelujah. You know, not an unclean feeling. Hallelujah. Amen. That is the resurrection. So Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Resurrection is a person. Resurrection is an experience. Not tomorrow, now in this room. Hallelujah. Today, your emotion can come into a greater resurrection. No amen. Amen. Hallelujah. My mind can come into a greater resurrection. So every day is resurrection time. Amen. So when I wake up in the morning, I'm excited because today I'm going to resurrect. I'm going to change. I'm going to become more a citizen of heaven than I was before. Amen. Hallelujah. So being a Christian is not a drag. It's not a punishment. It's an excitement. It is the best time to be alive. That you are called to be an overcomer. Hallelujah. Okay, let's go back to 1 John 5. 1 John 5. So we're looking at there are vehicles that God has designed to bring the life of Christ into the soul. There are vehicles. Amen. Hallelujah. So there are three that bear witness in earth. We know in prophetic language that earth means the soul of man. Hallelujah. The soul is the only thing in the whole universe that has the capacity to be in heaven and on earth at the same time. Hallelujah. With my spirit is fellowshipping with the Spirit of God and with the other spirits that are in the kingdom of God. Amen. And with my body, I am walking on the earth at the same time. Hallelujah. So, the soul has that capacity to express both heaven and earth at the same time. Hallelujah. So it says, the bear within earth. It says, number one, the Spirit. That means the Holy Spirit. Number two, the water. We know the water means the Word of God, isn't it? And then thirdly, the blood. I say these three agree in what, in other words, the three have one purpose, to bring the life of Christ into us. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay. Can we see that scripture in Galatians where it says, I travail until Christ be formed again in you? Is it Galatians 2 or 3? It says, my children whom I travail until Christ be formed again. I'm trying to show, where is it? Galatians what? 4 what? 4:13. 4:19. Okay, say 4:19. My little children, of whom I travail in bed again until Christ be formed in you. Now, Christ comes into us, into the soul, as a seed. Amen. It comes as a seed. And we already told in Galatians earlier on that that seed is Christ. Peter tells us that we are born again by the incorruptible seed. Amen. Now, when you receive a seed, just like we know in biology, one gene, just one gene, it scrapes something from your, from the inside of your mouth, one little scraping, it has all the information in your body. The color of your hair, the shape of your eyes, the shape of this, it's in that gene, has all the information. It's a principle. Also, when you receive Christ as a seed, that seed can be aborted. Amen. And there are a lot of people I know that Christ has been aborted. Yeah, quiet. Yes. Bible says that made shipwreck of their faith. Is it in your Bible? You can make shipwreck of your faith. You receive Christ, but it didn't grow. Hallelujah. So we have a name that we are living, but inside we are what? Dead. And Jesus that said it himself. So in you, do you still have that seed of Christ? We sang it this morning. I have the corruptible seed. I have the incorruptible seed. My is the spirit he has given to me. His life more abundantly. Is it not something like that? Amen. So we receive a seed. That seed must be nurtured to grow. Amen. Who has the responsibility of nurturing the Christ in you? Amen. Okay. Galatians 4. Let's say Galatians 4. He says that the heir, even though he's a child, is under the authority of what? Elements. It's nothing. No. Go to verse 1. Let's read down. Because some of us believe magic in some dimension, ultimate reconciliation. Because you wake up and wave your hand, I'm born again, then I go to back up. Who told you? Amen. I must walk in the Spirit. I must bring life. I must feed the Christ. The Christ must grow in me until the fullness of Christ takes over my soul. Amen. Now I say that the heir, as long as it's a child, differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. Yes, you are heirs. We are called to be joint heirs. A calling is different from experience. You know, some people are teaching that when you are called, you have experience. It's not true. Amen. You are called to be heirs. Walking to be heir is a different matter. Hallelujah. The Bible says, walk out your salvation with what? Fear and trembling. There must be a walking out. Somebody says, I have faith. Yes. The man says, show me your faith by what? By your works. So faith without works is what? Dead. So if I have Christ in me and I'm not bringing forth the fruit of Christ, it's dead, of no use. Hallelujah. May God help me to bring forth the seed of Christ, the fruit of Christ in every situation. And that's what we're looking at. That is the resurrection. So the fruit of the Spirit is love, is joy. Every one of us will have the ability to have joy. Amen. Whether I have money or not, I am joyful. The Bible says that the joy of the Lord is what? Is strength. There is an energy that comes by the joy of the Lord. Don't you feel? You look at the man has nothing, but there is something radiating from him to you. Amen. Hallelujah. So today we are depending on money to be happy. Money does not buy happiness. If you have 3 phones, each one of them has 10 WhatsApp groups, you are a dead man. Bro, you should also, you are dead. Then you can't put Instagram on top. Put Twitter. So when America wakes up, you are in trouble. As long as America is sleeping, it's no problem. When they wake up, Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Where are we now? Galatians 4, they were reading. Verse 2. But it's under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Verse 3. Even so, when we were children, we are in bondage under the elements of the world. Amen. Verse 5. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Verse 5. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive what? The adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your what? Heart. Remember, this heart is where the adultery and murders and pornography and so on is. Amen. So God is going down to where the problem is. Hallelujah. He has sent for his Son where? Into where the problem is. Crying, Abba, Father. Verse 7. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Amen. So he's giving us one powerful tool of walking in the Spirit. What's that? The Spirit of Christ. Hallelujah. Now, the Bible says that Spirit of Christ is the Spirit of adoption. Amen. After Brebe will explain to us what it means by adoption. Adoption is to make you what you are not. It's not you that makes you, you don't make yourself to be adopted. It's a spirit that is meant to adopt you. Amen. So when the Spirit of Christ comes into you, the work of the Spirit is to bring the raw natures of your soul, bring them under the control of Christ. In fact, bring them to be joined to the Spirit of God. Because the Bible says, he that is joined unto the Lord is what? One spirit. Maybe you don't know. As this body is married, the soul also will be married. The spirit will also be married. Amen. Hallelujah. So, the Spirit of Christ that comes into you is come to be joined to your soul, to your mind. So, the mind of Christ takes over your mind. The emotions of Christ takes over your emotion. The desire of Christ takes over your desire. Amen. So Paul says, no longer I that live, but Christ that liveth in me. So it is not of him that willeth, or of him that runneth. It is of the Lord that has shown us great mercy. Hallelujah.
So we have the spirit of adoption. Amen. So it's not what I have. God, you are not going to die on the cross again. It is finished. Amen. Somebody has overcome and has gotten the victory. And the spirit of Christ is in you to enforce that victory. Hallelujah. So the Bible says we are more than conquerors. You didn't fight the battle, but you're a winner. Amen. Hallelujah. So how are you a winner? Because the spirit that was in Jesus is the same spirit in you. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know if you're understanding the grammar I'm speaking. Amen. I'm saying that one of the things that God has given to us is the spirit of adoption. It is the spirit of God that makes you a son of God. Amen. You look at this man. He is a man. He's a man because he has the spirit. Without the spirit, you become a dog. Amen. Is that correct? You better believe it. Hallelujah. You look at the trees, they have no soul, so they have only their only body. They have no soul, so they are lifeless. They are living, but of a much lower level, no soul. You see the dog has soul, but no spirit. But we have spirit. And because we have a spirit, we are men. Hallelujah. So it is the spirit in you that makes you a man. Also, it is the spirit of God in you that makes you a son of God. Hallelujah. So the Bible says, as many as are led by that spirit, they are what? They are sons of God. You want to be a son of God, then you must learn how to submit to the spirit of God in you. Amen. So that spirit speaks. The spirit of God speaks. The spirit of God ministers. He teaches. He says, I will give you my spirit who will teach you all things. You have an anointing in you. Amen. There's an anointing in you that teacheth you all things. Amen. Where do you find that? 1 John. Let's look at 1 John chapter 2, 24. Also, we're looking at the things that help us to overcome. We're looking at the first one, the Spirit of God, which is the spirit of adoption. By that spirit, you will overcome. I don't know if we're going to do it today or tomorrow. Some of us are not baptized with the Spirit. You are born again, you receive a little measure of the Spirit. You need another touch that will download the whole Spirit of God into your spirit. So your spirit becomes a power station. I didn't hear any amen. That's what it means. The Spirit of God now transfers and sets up his headquarters in your spirit. Amen. So that from your spirit, he will conquer the realms of your soul. Hallelujah. Are we there? Okay, let's look at this one. He said, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, what will he do? He will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have told you. Amen. And that one says that he will take up the things of mine and he will show it to you. So the Spirit of God is there to bring revelation of Christ to you. Amen. That spirit speaks. Because in your soul, there is an ear to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. If you believe it, say amen. 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 Within your soul, there is eyes of understanding to see the visions of God, to see the face of God, to see the plan and purposes of God. Amen. Amen. They're all there. The things you see physically are also inside. Amen. The ability to hear. Yesterday we were praying for some people, we were anointing their ears. Because the high priest said, we will anoint the ear, anoint the thumb, anoint the toe. Amen. How can a man be a servant of God without hearing him? Hallelujah. We need to hear in the spirit. Amen. The man says, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Hallelujah. You can come to the place where you are hearing God every moment. Every day you are hearing his voice. And his voice is very sweet. And faith comes by hearing. And hearing by what? The word of God. Jesus is the word. The word of God is not only the one written. There is a living word of God that is within you. Don't you understand? And that living word is also in this room at this time. Amen. When we come together, that living word is there in our midst. Hallelujah. You see, Ezekiel says, and the word of the Lord came to me on the 10th day, by the 7th morning. How did he hear that? Because he had a year. Hallelujah. You too can be like Ezekiel says, on the 8th day of August 2017, the word of the Lord came to me. You write it down. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you desire to come to that place? Very few people. Amen. God woke you up in the morning and say, wake up. And he starts talking to you. Says, tomorrow there is going to be an earthquake in Ubibo. Don't go there. Amen. Somebody else who didn't hear will enter motor and go and they will get a crash. But you that heard, you change your plan. Amen. That is how to live in the spirit. Let's see the one in 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. First John chapter 2, 24. Are you there? Our people are on break. Amen. Can somebody find it for us and read? 1 John 2, 24. I'm not even started. I'm just getting into it. No, check 25. They have an anointing. 27. 1 John 2, 27, please. Hurry up. What does it say? He said, but the anointing which you have received of him, what? Abided. It doesn't go away. It's there all the time. Abided in you. And you need not that any man should teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him. Amen. So there's a level of revelation, personal revelation of Christ, that shall come to us. Amen. Say amen. Amen. 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. 1 Corinthians 2, 9. Amen. Amen. The thing is very slow now. Okay, are we there? Okay, so let's see it. But it says, but it is written, I had not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Verse 10. But God has what? Revealed them unto us by what? His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Verse 11. For what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Amen. So the Spirit of God is there to give us a daily revelation of Christ. So as you come to Christ every day, there is a film show, there is a video game, there is multimedia, there are words, there are voices, there are visions.
You know, God comes to you in all the dimensions and is revealing Christ to your soul. Amen. So your soul is in a school. And as there's a revelation of Christ, you feed upon the thing God gives to you. That's how to partake of Christ. Amen. You know, so you have an anointing in you that feeds you, that ministers to you, that brings life to you. Amen. Hallelujah. So, it is my ambition to come to the point where I don't need television to be happy. I have my own movie theater inside. Amen. I have my own 3D within the visions of God. Amen. Hallelujah. God begins to play them and show you. You know, you open the word and the word scatters. I mean, there's an explosion of the word. You don't even know which one to follow. Amen. You come to a point where you can stay 4 hours. Just, I remember a man called Pietin. He used to tell us in those days, when he reading the book of John, he will read it for 1 month. He cannot even move because he takes one verse and there are so many dimensions just from one verse of scripture. Amen. You can come to that place where the things of God are no longer like daily times. You know, but the Spirit of God is here breaking the world. The Bible says the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Have you come to that place where you are feeding on the life of Christ? Hallelujah. I want to advertise it. You can come to that place where you are in an excitement. You are feeding by the Christ. Hallelujah. And when you begin to come into that experience, something will fall off. Your appetite for this other entertainment will begin to reduce. Amen. You pay for DSTV, but after some time, you say, why am I wasting time? I might as well not pay for it. I didn't hear any amen. Yes, that subscription is of no use because you have no time for it because you are tuned to Heaven Channel. And in Heaven Channel, there is unlimited channel. Amen. There is a place like that. You can walk into it. Amen. Where the revelation of Christ begins to come to you. But you don't wake up and you fly into it. You must walk in it. So say, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk. Amen. And when you walk in the Spirit, you need energy to operate in the Spirit. Amen. Many of us, our spiritual energy is very low. Any small devil, we are on the ground. But we can build up our spiritual tank. Say amen. We can build up our spiritual energy. Amen. Let's look at James 1:20. Amen. It's only past 8 o'clock. Not yet time for dinner. Is it time for dinner, brother? This is time for what now? Amen. No amen. It's time for what? When it is time for dinner, we shall go for dinner. Amen. Hallelujah. So where are we now? Yeah. Did I say James? Jude. Jude chapter 20. Jude 20 is our end. Amen. Yeah. Jude. Okay. Praise God for our brethren. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, what does he say? But ye beloved, what does he say? How do you build something? You build something that is not there. It's not magic. So you just wake up and then you know where. You build the muscle. You exercise it. Building means spiritual exercise. Learn some fasting. I didn't hear any amen. Amen. Learn some fasting. Learn to wake up in the morning. At least once in the week. Wake up by 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock. Start walking around your room. Start waving your hand. When the devil sees that waving hand, he says, that man is a madman. Let's run away. Amen. Wave hand, wave hand. Kick your leg too. I didn't say you should fight or shoot bullet too. Just exercise yourself. Amen. Do some fasting. Skip some food meal. Mommy, no breakfast this morning. Afternoon, no lunch this afternoon. No problem. Say, God bless you, my son. Amen. What are you doing? You are building up yourself. Amen. Building up yourselves, what? On your most holy faith. Doing what? Praying in the Holy Ghost. You need to pray in tongues. We are too quiet. You need to pray in tongues for 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. Pray in tongues. And now you shout and you're waving your hand, shout, kick the things around in your room. Amen. We need to see more praying in tongues. Amen. Amen. Like Brother Zick would say so for us. In the name of Jesus, send the light. Send the light. Come on, are you see what is happening there? Yes, yes. Amen. Hallelujah. Bible says the kingdom of God suffers violence. And men and women of violence take it by force. Amen. This night we are going to take it by force. They are going to be praying in tongues. For you will pray in tongues. Brother is not laying hand anywhere. You will pray in tongues. Lay hand on yourself. Say head. Say this temple is the temple of God. Lay hands on yourself. Lay hands. Put it here and say, devil, pack out today. Amen. Amen. Devil, go. Hallelujah. We need some radical faith. We need some radical Christianity. Amen. And the devil say, this one, he has been with Jesus. Hallelujah. You build up your own faith. Hallelujah. Say amen and hallelujah. There's a man called Jimmy Swaggart. At 9 years, he was prophesying. 9 years, he was prophesying. So some of us are too old to prophesy. So don't think that you're doing anything to this thing. We need to move into that radical place. So if you have received the Holy Ghost, you are giving the Holy Ghost so that you can exercise yourself in the Spirit. Amen. We are too quiet. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, so we can go on and on and on talking about the Holy Ghost. And that's what the Bible calls a lampstand in the tabernacle. Amen. There's an oil. What's the oil? The life of God. When you connect your spirit to the Spirit of God, hey, it's open flow. Amen. Open flow. Bible says when you pray in an unknown tongue, you are speaking to God. Nobody is hearing you. You say that Spirit of God makes intercessions for you with groanings. Amen. When you are burdened, when you want to marry a wife, you need to groan, brother. Don't be looking at the fashion. You need to groan very well. In those days, we used to go and groan. Say amen now. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. When you want to pass exam, when you come to those crosses, you must groan. You go and spend time. Hallelujah. So we are believing God that it's going to be a change of lifestyle. I didn't get any strong amen. Yes. Brother Ben's brought the word today. Did you enjoy the word? What did he say? It is just for you. Amen. There are many preachers in this room. Amen. So that was just a showcase to show you that you can bring your word. Amen. So we need to begin to sit down and hear you preach. I hear you minister life to us. Amen. Hallelujah. And how do we do it? By the Holy Ghost. Say, the Spirit said to me. Hallelujah. You can hear it. Because that Spirit is in you. It's there teaching and ministering and quickening and strengthening you. Amen. Hallelujah. What's the other thing that brings life to us? Because it's the water. That's the word. Amen. You know, it's the same exercise. I remember a time when some people here, they memorized Psalm 119. Is it possible? 176 verses. Well, I have news for you. In China, they memorize the whole Bible. When they meet, nobody is carrying book. You think we are joking? But I bet you need to bring that book, The Heavenly Man. They memorize the whole Bible. Say, brother, because you see the guy to carry the Bible. When they meet, say, brother, oh yeah, quote, the man stands up, the whole of Matthew 28, from beginning to end, he quotes it. Here I have this one. I have this. I have the other one. I have the other one. On my laptop, I have three versions. On my own phone, I have another one. How many can you quote? How many can I quote? Amen. So we have said, it's not a law, it's just we're trying to help ourselves. Isn't it not so? We're trying to help ourselves. We say it will start with minimum 4 chapters a day. That's the minimum. When you want to become violent, the minimum you can go is what? 4 chapters a day. Amen. That's where you start, bottom class. Amen. If you went for a conference, you didn't read today, tomorrow you have 8 chapters. If you're ready, you want to watch film, you watch film. The latest film from Hollywood, no problem. You have now 12. Amen. So, when you begin to go into, I'm giving you testimony because I've done it. Because I didn't believe I could. Alright? But when you get into that mode, alright? If you have 12 chapters to cover, there's no way Manchester United will be playing, you go and watch it. It's not possible. It's not possible because you know that if you go to that Manchester United, you have 16. Amen. So when you put yourself under the routine, you bring your soul under the strength of the word of God, something begins to change. Do you know why? It says that the word of God, it converts the soul. What that means is that it begins to change your appetite. All of a sudden you say, why are you even watching 22 men running after one small round thing in the book? Brother, 22. Just 22 men just running. Have you thought about it? 22 men just running around. Even the film is just a make-believe. They say, why the man falls down. He didn't fall down. No, it's just film that made them fall down. Amen. After some time, the scale starts falling from your soul. You ask yourself, why have I wasted my life? Watching Manchester United. This one, United. Amen. Meanwhile, you don't know the name of the men in the Bible. Amen. You don't even know how many chapters are in the New Testament. Hallelujah. I want to challenge you. Go and enlist in that school. Amen. 4 chapters a day. After some time, you graduate. You graduate to 1 chapter a day. 1 book a day, sorry. Hallelujah. And you still do your normal work. It's possible. As a student. And you say that your mind will be very sharp and bright. Try it. Hallelujah. When you read, you will understand very, very well. And the Bible says you'll be the head and not the tail. Amen. Now, the Bible says the entrance of the word of God bringeth light. Let us see it. Psalm 119:135. Some people are saying, "Won't you stop preaching and we'll go and eat?" If I stop preaching, the only thing you can do is to eat. And food for the belly. The belly for food. All of them are going down, is it not? Amen. Okay. Don't worry, we'll soon close. But, what is this one? Is it 130? Hey, you got it done. Good. Praise God. Alright. The entrance of thy words. What do they do? It giveth light. Hallelujah. So the more entrance, the more light I have. Amen. So it giveth understanding to the simple. Who is the simple? Your soul. Amen. It makes your soul wise. It makes you to have wisdom. And the Bible says wisdom is the principal thing. With all you're getting, what do? Get wisdom. Amen. You build it. It's your labor. It's what you put in. It's discipline. Amen. If you are not disciplined, you will not be successful. Say, seest thou a man that is diligent? What will happen to him? He shall not stand before mean men. He shall stand before kings. The first king is the King of Kings. Amen. Amen. Don't mind all those management people. Like Odele and so on. They are copying the Bible. They can't be telling you all kinds of things. Amen. The Bible has all that you need to succeed as a student. Amen. Amen. So let me do 3 minutes counseling on reading. Now, some of you young people, you don't know how to read. There's a difference between studying and reading. If you agree, can I see your hand? How many people study and how many people read? What does it mean to read? What does it mean to study? Those who are always having C are reading. Those who make A, they study. Amen. Now, when you study, it means you are going to have a lesson on cockroach. Biology, cockroach. Don't laugh. Cockroach is the invertebrate. Is it not? You will go and read it before the class. That's how to study. Before the man comes, you have read it. And you note down interesting points. When the man is teaching, you are not hearing it a second time. And as you are hearing the man, you are noting the things you didn't remember or you didn't know. You note the ones, the points you didn't know. At the end of the class, you use 15 minutes and go over those points and you memorize them. So you read, you memorize. The next time you are going to read biology, because you must have a timetable. The next time you first of all recall what you read about cockroach before you start reading about millipede. Amen. So you read, you recall, because it is what you recall, what you remember that is your own. Anything you cannot remember belongs to the textbook. Say amen if you believe so. Yes. So when you enter the hall, the textbook is taken from you. It's only the one you can recall. So you must read, memorize, and recall. Amen. And when you are recalling, it means you must have a notebook. You must have a notebook where you write down. And a good student will have a notebook when you are reading. You write down the reference page in the textbook. If it's Stone and Cousins you are using, you write Stone and Cousins page, so and so and so. You write it by the side. So when it is time for exam, you will know where you are writing it. You just go straight to that point page and you look it up. If you are even very good, you will summarize that page in Stone and Cousins on the side of your note. Because when it is time for exam, you don't want to be reading Stone and Cousins. You need to be reading your note. Amen. That's what made the difference. Hallelujah. And the Bible says God will make you the head and not the tail. Say amen if you believe so. Amen. So, if you are diligent in the things of God, you will also be diligent in your books. Amen. and you will be successful. You've come out in flying colors. And you will be an example. Say that Daniel had an excellent spirit. How did he get it? Sometimes you can even get an inspo. The Spirit of God will show you the exam question in the night. So go and read this. When you read it, as you enter the hall, you see the seat there, and you write, and you pass, and you go. Amen. When you walk with God, there's no limit to what He can do for you. Amen. So, we are speaking about the Word of God. The Bible says the Word of God is perfect, converting my emotions. But some of us, when we read the scripture, within 1 minute we are forgotten. Do you know what it means? It means that the mind is so low in frequency. Your mind is so low in frequency. Don't be discouraged. Go back to the Word of God. Amen. As you keep on reading, your mind starts rising. As you keep on giving yourself to the things of God, your mind starts rising. After some time, you see that, you know, the things that used to bother you don't bother you anymore because you are now operating on the higher frequency of the mind. Amen. And as your mind starts rising, the mind will pull up your emotions and your desire. Amen. How many 25-year-olds are still playing with toys? You don't play with toys because you have overgrown using toys. And let me give you that the things that are so exciting you now, if you give yourself the Word of God, after some time you lose interest. Those things don't mean anything again in you because your emotions have grown. You have risen to a much more higher dimension. Amen. We have spoken about the blood. So, we have spoken about the blood, about the spirit, and about the word. Now, those are the three things that we are given to nourish the Christ in us. For the Christ in us to grow. Amen. And the Bible said that when we come to fellowship, the Christ in me ministers to the Christ in you. Amen. And there is a flow, there is fellowship. And there is a growing. That's what we need to come to. That's what we need fellowship. He said, do not abstain from fellowship. You know, do not abstain from the gathering of the people of God. So if you have been in this conference, you have been receiving a ministry of Christ coming to you, you know, and nourishing and strengthening and quickening you, and, you know, a growth. And the purpose of Christ is to overtake the whole soul, the whole realm of your soul. You know, so I'm going to close. But I trust that we have tried to put out some basic principles of how to live in the Spirit, how to operate in the Spirit, how to engage in spiritual warfare, how to be overcomers, how to change our character, how to change our personality, how to develop a closer walk with the Lord, and how to become, you know, warriors, you know, for the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord.